And we are welcoming everybody into the Branson Podcast Network and another great edition of our continuing series as we uncover everyday heroes. That is our jobs with the Heart of the Emergency Worker podcast series. It is powered and presented by our friends at Arvest Bank. I am Josh Grisham, joined in studio by my co-host and the creative mind behind this podcast series, the lovely and amazing, my dear friend, Pamela Yancey. Welcome back, dear. It is another episode and another great story and nomination came to us in our email inbox, and we've got ourselves another episode to get into.
I am so excited to be here. You know, I love doing this with you, Josh, and I am really looking forward to today's episode and learning a little bit more about what goes on. And as Josh said, we're just here. We just want to understand what you do, and we hope we present it to the community in a way that there's a little more understanding and a little more kindness and a little more gratitude. Right, Josh?
You know, and with each episode that we unpack and with each bio and story that we tell, it's an opportunity for us to tackle community misconception. Education is key. Knowledge is power. And the more we are knowledgeable about our area services, whether they are within the city, the emergency sector, it just helps us, again, develop that patience. A better understanding is key. And folks, I will tell you, you travel around Ozark Mountain country, you will see our City of Branson trucks.
Yes.
They are white trucks. They are white vans. You'll see Public Works on there. And this series is really going to open our eyes. It's really going to help us develop an appreciation into the beauty of Ozark Mountain country. Services that are rendered in Ozark Mountain country, I think we're really going to get some valuable insight. Our special guest, we talk about Public Works, City Engineering, Benjamin Stabo. And Benjamin, I hope I had your last name pronounced correctly. I know you correct me if I'm wrong. Welcome into this edition, sir.
Well, thank you, Josh and Pamela. It's a pleasure being here today, and I'm really looking forward to giving my perspective of the emergency responder aspect that we put on every single day.
My friend, I will tell you what, it is again a delight. We're so glad that we can come in and we can tackle your story, your choice of career path, and obviously being here in Ozark Mountain country, the City of Branson. I have a lot of respect for Public Works because I tell you what, it does take a village. It takes a big, big group of people to make Public Works work right here in the City of Branson. So my friend, let me start there. When it comes to, like, obviously city government and Public Works, did you always have that passion? Did you have anybody in your family that worked in the public works sector or just in city government? Why choose the City of Branson? Why choose Public Works?
Well, I'm actually a first generation in government worker.
That is cool.
I started my career out of high school in the heavy construction industry.
Okay.
And it just happened that in 2008, we all know what happened with the downturn and everything. And,
yes, sir.
And projects were slowing down. And so I decided to take the step in the transition at that point from being on the road, traveling a five-state region to coming home and doing something more, you know, more localized. I was born and raised here in the Table Rock area, and so I'm just a native coming back to his native land. And
my gosh,
the position at the city opened up. It was just a basic entry position. I didn't have any, you know, real aspirations at that time besides getting here local and then going from there and seeing what it was going to unfold.
I love the fact, Pam, and Ben's already got me hooked in his story because when he says he's a local boy, he grew up here, comes back, settles into his roots. I can respect that because I'm about as local as you get myself. So a lot of respect for you there in that regard. I mean, that's cool that you got a chance to work in your chosen career path, but you get to do it. You get to be home. That's a rare thing. Not everybody gets that chance.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially in this region, you know, to make a decent wage, you know, without being in the tourism industry that most people are here locally, you usually have to travel outside this area to get that livable wage.
And you talked about construction. I want to go back to that just a little bit because get in that sector. I mean, obviously, if you're in the right spot, right time, apprenticeship and or otherwise, you're just bidding your time. You're putting in the work and you're learning and you're advancing yourself. There can be good money in construction. And Branson has certainly had its fair share of development spurts. I go back to the early 90s. Mm-hmm. I go back to certain leadership down at City Hall that are courting multi-million dollar businesses and bringing all that work in. When these projects come in, that is putting food on the table for workers in the public sector and in construction, and doing so for multiple months. We're lucky to be in that area. I mean, tourism is a big driving force here, but all of that business attraction comes in. Some years are better than others, but that's a very big deal. So we're lucky and blessed to be in an area that is courting businesses here that brings development and that keeps you busy.
Absolutely.
Oh, so in construction, going back to that, my question, it was a long-winded approach to get around to a question here for Benjamin. Construction, you were talking about that five city or being on the move. When you recorded with that and made that decision to kind of start there, how young were you when you got started?
I was actually 18. You know, I was going.
God, you were young, young man.
So I had done practically manual labor my whole life. I like working outside. I like working with my hands. And so a position came open. I was actually going to school at OTC up in Springfield.
Yes, man.
And it just so happened that I wrecked a truck.
Oh,
and
gosh,
that's how the whole story started. I end up wrecking a truck on the way to Springfield from living down here. And at that time, it was either go get a job and pay for another truck or find a different way to commute back and forth to college. And so I ended up, it was coming up on the summer season end. So I ended up working into a position with Kennedy Contractors, which is a staple of Springfield for many years, building John Q. Hammond's baseball field to Jordan Valley Park. And I had a pleasure of working on many of those projects with Cliff and the team up there.
Unbelievable.
And kind of worked my way into that and then transitioned after that period. Emery Sapp, which is another big contractor of the area, they came in and bought our company out. So I just transitioned from my current role there and to their organization and ended up finishing my heavy highway career there with them.
So you talk about doing these contracting jobs. It's not easy work. Manual labor is not for everybody. Not everybody makes that choice, but you love working with your hands. I got to ask about mom and dad. So where did that love of diving in and doing all this hard work and you know, the love of working with your hands, did that start with mom or dad? Or where did that begin for you? Because that is not an ethic that everybody just picks up. So was hard work instilled in you in your youth?
Yeah, absolutely. Both sides of my family were ingrained, not necessarily manual labor, but
yeah,
it was just the need that was needed to be done. You know, if something needed to be done, we just jumped in and did it. You know, I'd have to attribute my grandpa probably as a big leader in my life, you know, of jumping in and doing it from growing up in the Depression. And learning every aspect of trade that he could. As a masonry, he would just go on job sites and watch other trades. And so then at a young age, probably 8 or 10 years old, I'd go over to his house and we decided to build a new house. So we just started tearing into it and did all the plumbing and electrical. And
that's a massive.
Basically from the ground up. And so a lot of things I learned were from him. And then on top of that, another reinforcement's my dad, you know, and he did a great job instilling the work ethic and giving me the tools I needed to be successful. I started my first job when I was 14 years old, mowing for 8 hours a day. That was my first job. So
you were so young, 14 and 18 respectively, and doing all this work with your grandpa and your dad. Any advice that they gave you as a kid and as a young man that sticks with you today? Any words that stick out that you remember?
As long as you do the right thing, it doesn't matter what the outcome is probably the best thing I can say. As long as your heart is in the right spot and you do what is right, then nothing else matters.
I love that. I love that. When you say you're a local boy, where'd you grow up?
I actually grew up in Kimberling City.
Kimberling City, yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Good area.
Yeah.
All right. Love
wonderful
Kimberling.
Place. It's changed a lot over the years.
Yeah.
But,
no kidding.
And I don't know if it's for the best or the worst yet, but it's still home. So I still spend quite a bit of time over there. And then I live here locally in Indian Point area is where I live currently. So
fantastic.
Beautiful.
Fantastic.
Right local on the boy. Lake. You are a
right
lake boy
lake.
Too, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
In Kimberling City. So Benjamin, circling back around to the city of Branson and being a local boy, you've seen a lot. We've all seen a lot. You become a native of this area. We've seen it come up from nothing. A lot of change in different areas around Branson. So when it came to city and public works, who was your first interview and who gave you the shot and opened up the door for you?
Let's see. My first interview was Director Francis, Keith Francis.
Oh, yeah. We all know
and,
him.
So he gave me the opportunity and I came in and I'd worked my way up through the private industry, you know, from general labor to when I left, I was a foreman for the company and had a lot of good knowledge. And I just came in with a heart just saying, you know, I just want to be home with my kids every night. I just recently gotten married. And that was that, well, 13,
going
14
back
years
in time
ago
to
now.
Where we now. Yeah.
Yeah, but
well, congratulations on 14.
Got married and wanted to be home with the wife and kids every night instead of being gone. And so I just jumped in. I took the most entry level position at the city of Branson, took a huge pay cut, which is, you know, it was a blessing with my wife and I that we were able to adjust through that.
That's a risk.
But that's scary.
It is scary. It was a huge step. I mean, at that time, that was 08, 09, mm-hmm. and it was major money of stepping off the private road and coming home to something like this. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up getting an interview with the city, and luckily I got hired. And then I started with the street department down at Public Works, and I just started showing my knowledge. And as they gave me different projects, I'm like, oh, we don't need to be doing it that way. We need to be doing it this way.
Here's
a new product. Yeah. You know, this is the way we need to do it. And with Keith being an engineer, he just picked up on that and said, you know, I don't have to worry about this kid. I can literally give him anything and he handles it.
You earned your keep and your trust as you continue
absolutely.
To walk forward.
And I can just hear Keith saying that too. I can hear him saying that.
Yeah, absolutely. So
that's pretty cool. So to help the community gain insight on public works within the city of Branson and help them understand what you do, take me inside a typical day. What is in your purview? So what have you picked up and where is that at now? What all entails the public works sector for you?
Public works is a huge umbrella. I mean, there's mm-hmm. so many little things underneath that people don't think about. From the street guys down at the street shop and gals, basically, their day looks like anywhere from picking up trash on the side of the roadways to make the city look clean to patching potholes to currently right now, everybody's out hanging Christmas lights.
I've been driving by the trucks as they're hanging the lights.
You know, so any given day is different. We very rarely do the same thing twice in a day, and we have such a wide span of things to get done. It's an ongoing wheel that just constantly turning.
Ever evolving and ever shifting, and anybody who knows the city of Branson, gosh, you can go on any street corner here, and some part of that area is tied to public works in some facet. I'm curious, and this is the best part about it, is I'm a curious citizen and a host as we take you through Ben's story. Let me just ask you this: when it comes to public works as well, how many are on your team? And then also, is it a dispatch scenario? So how are jobs assigned to you?
So I'm on the upper end of the management now, working mm-hmm. my way through the organization. There's roughly, don't quote me, but roughly around 40 of us on the public works side from the upper management and engineering aspects to handle the capital projects.
Uh-huh.
So that's all of your improvements for the water treatment plants, the roadways. We're getting ready to do a mill and overlay that's coming through here in the next week. We've done a little bit over the last 2 weeks, so they handle all the projects and getting that material spec'd out for the year. Then we go down a little bit, and we've got three divisions underneath Public Works, and that would be the sign shop. And the sign shop actually handles, a lot of people don't know it, but every sign that's a street sign, stop sign, anything like that is made in-house here at the city in Branson and hung by city employees.
That's incredible.
Absolutely. We've got three great guys over there at the sign shop that physically make the sign, and then we'll take it out on the street and install it as needed.
That's okay. And so again, I mean, if your mind isn't boggling right now listening to Benjamin break this down, I just want you to kind of frame this up a little bit, because here's where the patience comes into this factor, right? A department of 40, sign shop 3. Now, think about the scope and the breadth of our area and how much we've grown up. We're not getting smaller. We're getting bigger year in and year out. We continue to grow. More people come here, more businesses, right? So the city has to read the room, right? You have to read the room, employee levels, who's going to tackle what, so that when we're out and about in the community and we're seeing, gosh, this needs attention here. Who do I call? Or this looks great. I love how well kept everything is. The city's rising to meet those demands. It's a team of 40 behind the scenes that we don't see or often understand, and a team of 3 that maintains all of that. I'm developing an appreciation because, I mean, 40 and 3 doesn't seem like a lot, but I think about those numbers and what they have to tackle. We got a lot of people coming through here. We're getting bigger every day. So right. mad amount of respect for everybody that serves in public works. It's a lot to take on.
Absolutely, Josh. And that doesn't even include the utility side for your water and sewer.
Yes.
You know, that's not underneath my purview, but, you know, that's a whole nother group of guys that is here 24/7 keeping the water flowing and the sewer out of your houses and safe for you to be there.
That's, and Pam, he's laying all this out perfectly. And it's going to tie into my next question, and I want to bookend on this, because you're giving us valuable insight into how this all works and how large the team is and what is serviced where, when, and how. So we oftentimes, when we have something that goes wrong on our property or something that impacts us in the community, we have to take a detour, or there's a road that's in bad shape, or there's a sign missing, and we keep staring at it week in and week out. We sit and we think to ourselves, well, they're not doing anything. I'm just being very real and transparent. That is a thought that creeps into all of our heads. It's kind of like that negativity troll that sits up on our shoulder. Does it really impact us? No. You just got to stop and take a breath for a second. But that first thought that comes in, well, I never see the city out here. They're never here. I'm laying this before you as that community misconception. I'm not the liaison. I just can think logically here and know there's somebody out there right now that's in their car driving around going, this just never gets attention. This is never going to get tackled. I know this in some way, shape, or form, whether it's a phone call, an email, or whatever. This gets back to you guys. And I can understand the frustration with that. That's community misconception. So talk to me a little bit about that. What is that common misconception, or did I just bring it up and that's what comes back? And how do you guys tackle that? How do you turn that around into service and changing minds?
Josh, you hit the nail on the head. It's all about perception.
Yes.
We can work 24 hours a day and there still be that one person that only sees the bad.
Yes.
You know, I can affirm to the citizens of Branson that we do it our best to come up and address each and every single issue.
Yes.
Recently here in the last couple of years, and we revamped it again this year, we have a reported issue. Mm-hmm. So you're welcome to go online at any time.
I like that.
And it's a direct path to the correct person. So mm-hmm. as your complaint comes in, it's usually handled within 12 to 24 hours, at least started. You know, it may not be fixed, but at least somebody has said it and acknowledged it. And you might even receive a phone call saying, hey, we got your concern. We're working on it. Here's where we're at. This is where we're going. Here's our expected ETA of getting that fixed.
And not to stop you mid-sentence, but I can appreciate that level of transparency. And I think as a community member, that again, that kind of shuts down that negative perception. I mean, whether it's instinct or not, complain. Yeah, I understand that. I get that. But the fact that we can go in and we can say, you know what? They responded. I have an ETA. I know where they're at. I know maybe what's preventing them from getting right to my immediate concern or what I'm complaining about. I love the fact that we can see that is as transparent, as open book as you can be with the community.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's cool.
And the newest feature of that has got an interactive map. So you can see, you can actually see the problem that's labeled and what the problem is and what the outcome or what we're planning on doing with it. So it's a pretty new feature that we didn't have in the past.
Yeah.
So it's very interactive. Anybody can get on there and just have a look at it and see what's going on.
I'm gonna be a communication advocate here,
okay.
and that's why we do this. And
that's right.
We have done that with every story we have done. And Ben, I'd love you to just to bounce off me here as I bring this up. So with this application for us, it's almost like we can go around and we can almost like drop a pin, if you will, be like, hey, I saw this. Just want you to be aware of it. And I'm not necessarily one of those ones that. I'm a non-confrontational guy. I don't like being a complainer. I will find every other alternative around that. But I also, I'm a communicator. I would be more than happy to say, hey, I just happened to see this. When you can get to it, fantastic, great, and all that stuff. What I want the community to know is if you're one of those people out there that is a complainer or whatever, hey, a lot of respect for you. I get it. I understand. I'm going to open your eyes for a second here. If you've got something that you're frustrated by, you see it, and you just think, they're not listening to me. They're not going to hear me. This is never going to get done. I want people to understand. It's going to get tackled. It's going to get taken care of. But I want you to go inside Ben's day. I want you to go inside the public work staff's day, this team of 40. When we want something to be handled right here and now, right? We're frustrated. We want to see it done. On a typical day, how many different projects can get backlogged for you all? What's the reality of it on your side of things?
In reality, on the average day, between 3 and 5.
Wow.
You know,
and this is not
from big stuff to little stuff.
Yes.
You know, with the new launch of the application, we're probably averaging 2 to 3 items a day. From big stuff to little stuff, you know, some stuff might take 10 minutes to fix, but then there's other stuff that, hey, this is a priority first, so we got to get our priority first done mm-hmm. before we put this on the list.
So, Ben, let me ask you a question. So, you know, we're kind of famous for some storms that roll through, right?
Boy,
so we have some bad weather. are people able to go on that app and say, hey, there's a tree down over in this subdivision, whatever? Because I'm telling you, the last big storm we had, there were trees down everywhere, right? In all the neighborhoods and across the roads and stuff. And I would imagine it's impossible for city employees to be everywhere at one time, right? So doing your citizens' duty of saying, hey, not mad, not whatever, but just say, hey, just letting you know there's a tree down over here in this subdivision or whatever, so that you can respond accordingly to that. And that, those types of things take priority over maybe what you already had scheduled for your day, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I sit on the finance committee for the city of Branson and have for several years. And so I understand, they have projects that are scheduled, they're budgeted, and all that stuff that are prioritized, right? But then life happens, and sometimes you got to stop what you've got planned doing to take care of the immediate need, right?
Absolutely. Just like this last storm, my tenure here at the city is going on 10 years, and I've got new leadership above me quite a bit, all the way up to the city administrator, and everybody's like, well, this is just crazy. And it's like, well, this is just a storm. But at the same time, this is one of the bigger storms we've had. You know, at the last time that we counted, we had almost 60 trees down blocking roadways. So a lot of people don't see the other side of that, of our schedule that we had planned for that week. All of a sudden, on that Monday night, it got erased.
A domino effect, right.
At 11 o'clock, I called the entire crew in, and we started taking chainsaws and backhoes and dump trucks and start opening up these roads. And we worked 24/7 to get us where we were at, you know. And then the following cleanup, that's just the initial cleanup, is just get the stuff open. But then you have another week following that of actually going out and picking the items up, so they're not in the roadway any longer, sitting in somebody's front yard. That a lot of people just don't understand how long that actually takes to do.
I think, and again, I use the expression a lot, open our eyes a little bit and just stop, take a second, breathe, and try to assess the situation and assess how the dominoes would fall in a situation like that. Because when you have a natural disaster, and I say that, we've had those, and it's never going to stop. I mean, we're going to have, hopefully we don't have a whole bunch of them, but, you know, things change year in and year out. When you have a situation like that, you got 60 trees down, you have a team of 40 that's already going above and beyond what the scope of a level of control is. And if you go into that day where you've got that amount of storm damage going on, you had five projects that you intended to get to, where do those five projects go? You have to exercise a little bit of common sense with folks that are out there in the field and understand that this is an immediate need versus something that can be shifted. And those are the difficult choices that a team leader has to make, and as a staff, you have to make collectively together. This is not something where this is an easy decision to make. No, that's a tough choice that has to be made so you can tackle things in the immediacy. That happens for your department. It happens in multiple fields all the time.
Yeah, every department is involved with those incidents, from the fire department to police department to the utilities department. You know, it's all hands on deck, and we count on each other as a group and as a team to get through those disasters. And, you know, I look back at previous years with the floods.
Yes,
it's the same thing. It's just a disaster, but you have to manage it the best you can. And I would have to say that the city of Branson's got some great people in great positions that have the experience, that have the knowledge, and we are very well prepared for those incidents to be handled in a quick and timely manner.
Again, that a lot of respect. Your staff and you as a leader down there at the city, I want to ask about just a typical day. So we talked about, and I love the way you frame that up. You may have three or five projects. One may be 10 minutes. One could be multiple hours. One could turn into days or weeks, varying things. And it all ties together. So you have to prime and position your projects, right? And I want the community to understand, what is a long day, or what has been the longest day for you in public works? I want people to really understand just what a typical day could be like. What is a long day when you guys are really under pressure and you've got some big things to tackle?
I'd probably go back down to the street department again. A big day is where we've got three or four patches that we're hitting, and we've got asphalt, and we're working on a time crunch, a day that we're doing concrete. You know, we're a small crew. We don't have the experience that most private companies have, so a lot of these things, it's a learning opportunity for some of the younger guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to teach while we're trying to be productive at the same time. A long day, I would say, is pouring out that concrete in the middle of summertime when it's 102 degree. And
we have had those.
Just because we have the weather doesn't mean the city shuts down. We continue moving forward.
What I love about this is, and you just made a good point that I did not know, is the fact that, I mean, you guys have got people that are very knowledgeable in public works that have been in it for a very long time. But the fact that you also have young staff members within public works that are just getting into it for the very first time, varying ages, I did not know that on the job there is that training and the education side of it as well. I think that's fantastic. And I can really be impressed by that because you have young minds that are developing an appreciation for the business, but also too on a training aspect, it's good to have a mind that is impressionable. They can pick up the best things. That's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I want to showcase is public works is, like I said earlier, it's an umbrella, and there's so many jobs that go into public works. You know, if you're at your house and you have a plumbing issue, you're going to call a plumber.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an issue with your yard, you're going to call a gardener or a landscaping company. If you have a problem with your driveway, you're probably going to call an asphalt contractor, and same with the roof, you're going to call a roofer. Public works is the jack of all trades for the city. You know, we do anywhere from asphalt patching, we do concrete repair and placement, we do brush and tree removal, we do grass and trash pickup. Let's see, another thing that we haven't really touched on was snow removal. You know, that our department is in charge of that,
yes.
You know? So we have a lot of hands and a lot of hats. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to get good at one thing when you're doing the constantly switching and doing little things.
A lot of pressure in that.
But I think our team does really well doing that. And like you said, it's having that younger generation and that older generation that has the knowledge that can lead those younger guys and show them, hey, this is how you're going
to
do it.
In banking, we call that transferring the institutional knowledge to the next generation, right? The next generation of bankers.
I like that phrase, Pamela.
Yeah.
Yes. And when you said snowplow, so that's one of the things Josh and I talked about, like when we were first coming up with this concept. It's like, you know, we all complain when we can't get to work, if it snows or whatever, you know, and we get frustrated. But we have people that go out in the middle of the night, in the middle of a storm, that's putting out salt, that's plowing the roads and all that stuff. They have to leave their warm beds. They have to leave their families at home, and they have to go out. And that's a dangerous thing to have to do, to go out and do that when the roads are slick, right?
Yeah, one of the way I explain it to everybody else to kind of put it in perspective is imagine the worst possible road conditions, and we've got 12 guys out there in it. We don't shut down. We're right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
If it's ice and sleet, we're slipping and sliding around town trying to get material.
Yeah, and I just want people to remember that. It's frustrating for all of us because we're so used to immediate gratification, right?
Yeah.
Go get in my car, drive to where I want to go, right? Mm-hmm. But if it wasn't for y'all facing the elements, taking risks to clear the roads so that we can get in our car and get somewhere safely, right? Whether that's to the hospital, a doctor's appointment, for me getting to work, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we count on you all. And I just want us to be grateful. I want us to be grateful for the people that are willing to go out and do that. And I want us to have a little bit of kindness and appreciation.
You're not hunkered down
right.
by any means. You don't get to hunker down.
You can't
down.
Say,
you
well, I'm not going to leave until the snow melts. I'm going to stay at home because I'm snowed in. You literally got to get in your vehicle, to get to work, to get the vehicles, to clean the roads. So it's a process. So high respect for, you know, everybody that does that. Again, I get to kind of see behind the scenes, you know, down at the city, and I would just say I just think the people at the city in public works, they're just such caring people. They really care about their jobs. They really care about our community. And I just want to say thank you for doing it. I know it's your job, but I think you all go way above what's expected of you in your job.
Well, thank you, Pamela. It's we consider it a day-to-day. It's just our job. It's what we come to do. And
that's what heroes do, Josh. They just, it's no big deal.
It's just a job. That's all it is. Yeah. And I think our leadership and a lot of people in our department really want to come and make a difference every day.
And
that's,
I think
that's
you do.
Their true thing is they're coming to make the city better.
And y'all do.
Benjamin, I and this is a question that has been posed to every guest we have had so far in the series. And my friend, it not necessarily the hot seat, but you get the question that they have gotten before you and all the guests that to come will be on this particular series. But now is your turn. Speaking of the last decade and the mark that you have made in public works and for the city of Branson, I want people to know, because again, it's all about respect. It's all about us understanding and being better. In that 10 years, what has been, in your definition, sir, your toughest day in public works? Whether that is being involved with severe storm damage or something sight unseen that we often don't hear about, what has been the part of your job that has been the toughest or the most challenging for you?
I'd say the toughest job is giving it your all.
Yeah.
And still at the end of the day, you're like, did I do enough? That's probably my hardest day is those long snow days, those 15, 16, 18 hour days. Gosh. You've plowed all day long and then you stop by the gas station on the way home to grab a slice of pizza or something like that. And somebody goes, man, these roads are horrible. You know, it's like, it's so defeating, you know, but you know, you just take that as, you know what, we're doing the best we can. You know, you haven't done what I've done for the last 18 hours. So, you know, best of luck. I hope you get where you're going and you just start the day over and with a smile on your face and just keep trudging forward.
I love that you have that attitude, and that's not easy. And I'm glad that you brought that up. Again, it's that community misconception, because it's that one person that doesn't stop to think outside of their own bubble or their own box is the one that is probably the quickest to say that and not really stopping to think it through before the words come out of their mouth, right? How do you at the end of the day, you know, that 15, 16 hour day, that tough day where, you know, you're having to fight to keep the roads clear, you're working that stretch. How do you separate the two of being Benjamin Stabo in public works and being in that leadership role at the end of that day? How do you make it work and separate it to come home to be that great husband, the family man? How do you find that balance?
You just got to separate from it is the best thing I can say. Unfortunately, down here, I don't have an hour-long drive like I did when I was working out of Springfield. The drives really help separate that. You get stuff on your mind. You kind of plan for the next day, what's coming up and what you need to do. And then it's just really about when you get home to separate from that and focus on the family for sure.
In public works, I love the fact that public is in it because you give everything of yourself and your time and your schedule to the public. All of us. I mean, Pam and I right here, we are the public, right? We're your audience, and I'm just going to put myself in the hot seat and I'll say I'm human. I would have been that critic at some point or another, and I've learned to be better and shut off that critic side of my brain. But that's the reality of it, right? Being here as long as you have, being a local and doing what you do and making that choice to be in public works and giving back to your community, I just like to know, just as a community member, what has been the best part for you that you've gotten back from the city of Branson and the community that you call home?
It's definitely the people. It's twofold. You get the criticism, but you also get the joy of helping people too.
Yes.
It's the days that the natural disasters hit or the trees are down and you get to meet those people in those subdivisions and really get to know them one-on-one of what they're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And you may not be able to fix their issue, but at least you can help brighten their day a little bit and say, hey, we're going to take care of this for you. You don't have to worry about this tree. This is on us.
Let me ask you, and I love the fact that you brought up being in those subdivisions and meeting some of those neighbors. I would imagine that, and that's the allure and the charm of the small town that we're in, because you remember people by name. And Pam will appreciate this. That's why I bank at RBS Bank. That's why I appreciate all of our banking institutions, because you can go to these places.
Right.
And people remember who you are. There are probably neighborhoods that you see more than others in 10 years. And there's probably people that know you by name and people that you know and you recall. Maybe it's because you've helped them more often than not. When you see that and you have that recognition, whether it's in the subdivision or wherever you go in the city of Branson, does that make you feel like a superhero? You always hear that deal. It's like not everybody wears capes. But, I mean, What does that make you feel personally, just as a human being, but also an employee of the city of Branson? Somebody either remembers you by name or you go to the subdivision and they just know who you are. What's that like for you?
Well, I think hero is a big word. You know, it's hard to put a definition on a hero, in my opinion. You know, but I would never consider myself a hero. I'm just the guy that's helping them out and trying to make it better for them. Whether they have an issue with the city and spending the 10, 15 minutes it takes to explain why the city can't do something, you know, or if what we can do to help them. It's just that personal interaction of spending that time with them and getting to know them and understanding their issues and then explain the city's issues on top of that, why we have to do the way we have to do it.
Yeah.
I guess I kind of went off track there. I kind of lost thought of your question. So if you could ask it to me, great, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, I can do that. You know, just what you get back from a community member and people that you interact with on a daily basis in those subdivisions around the city, businesses, both small and large, people that you serve.
Right.
I just, you know, you talked about defining a hero. Is there anything that sticks out in your mind, an interaction with a community member that you keep with you that is as a driving force that propels you forward?
Not right off the bat of the head. Not that I can think of. You know, I've had a lot of positive experiences here at the city and met a lot of great people and seen a lot of people move on and move to different locations as well.
Yeah.
But it's always that excitement of getting to meet somebody next and dealing with the next issue that I like.
What you have done, young man, is you have kind of crafted for us. You weaved it, you know, starting from a young man at age 14, age 18, making that decision, moving out, moving back. This is your place. This is your lifeblood. This is where you have made a home. You have built a relationship and an awesome marriage, and you're serving your community. And then obviously the ties to your grandfather and your dad, that's where that secret recipe lies. That's your DNA. That is your service. That's why you're in the field that you're in, and you've given a decade to it. And hopefully we have multiple decades here. And that's what moves this city forward. And that's that secret recipe. We uncovered that.
We've
cooked with Benjamin today.
He said, you know, I don't consider myself a hero. And I just wanted to say at that point,
please.
No hero ever does. That's the beauty of a hero, right? They don't think of themselves as heroes. That's why you are a hero. I want to know, when you're not working, you know, and I know they're not all 18-hour days or, you know, whatever, but when you're not working, what do you do, like, community involvement-wise? Are you involved in anything, like your kids, sports, wife, whatever? What do you do? What do you do to have fun?
Well, I've got three kids. I've got a 16, a 12, and a 3-year-old. So I've got a widespread.
You've
so
got
we're
all
involved
over the place.
In a lot of stuff. So between sports to Boy Scouts of America to being involved in the church, I stay busy a lot. A lot of times every day after work, after my normal day, I've got 2 or 3 hours of other stuff that's going on.
Yeah. You know, I think, Josh, that's a kind of a common thread. I don't know if you're picking up on that, but the heroes that we've had in, our frontline workers, they don't just clock out at 5 o'clock and go home and just stay home.
That's
they're
true.
Back out in their community. They're at the ball games with their kids. They're interacting with the community. They're involved in their churches. They're out doing things in their community that's connecting and building that sense of community and family, right?
Absolutely.
And so I'm not surprised at all to hear that you do that. But, you know, when you know, our very first guest was Ted Martin. Mm-hmm. And I mean, oh my gosh, Ted, how is Ted everywhere at the same? But he's everywhere doing great things, you know, all the time. And that's just been a common theme from each person that we've had the opportunity to have on the podcast, is they've shared the story, but they're just as passionate about making a difference out in their community when they're not working either. So I love that.
It takes a very special person to do that. And speaking of Ted, do you ever get a chance through the city to get out in the school system? Do you get a chance to talk to kids? Do you get a chance to educate on that level? And is that something, if you're not doing it, that you would like to do?
Yeah, currently right now we don't do a whole lot of outreach. You know, we've got our city functions that when we open up City Hall, we welcome the community. Of course, if we've got kids, we're going to you know, dote on them.
Yeah.
So we have giveaways and stuff like that. We keep at the office crowns and hard hats and stuff like that they can come in.
Oh,
I
got to come get a hard hat.
Yeah.
How do you not have a hard hat?
I don't know.
Everybody's got a fire committee and you don't have a hard hat. I think next time you see Benjamin down there around City Hall, he'll hook you up with a hard hat.
I need a hard hat. Now, you know, I might even take the crayons. I don't know. But, you know, I'm not against coloring either. Yeah. But
well, and at this point, again, I cannot say thank you enough. Thank you enough for making the choice to serve. Thank you for being a part of a wonderful team. You know what? Thank you for just getting out there and putting in those long days, the short days, the small projects, the big projects. Because I will say this, you know, I'm human. I've been in that in the role that I described during this episode. I've been critical from times. I'm human. We are all like that. But I've shut that bone off in my body and I've looked at things logically and soundly that helps me understand a little bit better. It's why I can say yes to sitting in this chair and putting on these episode series. It opens up our eyes collectively. It helps us be better community stewards. It helps us be more patient and more understanding if we have an inside view on what the life is like and what the careers are like. So we just know that we're better that way. Benjamin, a fun question for you as we wrap up this edition of the Heart of the Emergency Worker podcast series. You know, if there was anything that you would love to say to your community members to help us know a little bit better, learn a little bit more, what would you most like to say to the community to help provide them a little additional insight into your job and your career?
I would encourage all citizens, if you've got a question, we'll be happy to answer it. You can always call up the Public Works and Engineering Department if you've got a concern, and we will call you back with an answer, and we'll probably come out and visit you too. So we like to be out in the field and meet our constituents and serve our community the best we can serve it.
Benjamin Stabo, he is our current edition, the Heart of the Emergency Worker podcast series. Just an incredible young man with just a passion for his career, his job, really an unmatched drive, I would say that. He is among a great team. It's a reminder to us all why our city is in good hands. Mm-hmm. You go out and you drive around the city of Branson and you come away impressed.
Right.
And I tell you what. Just please understand, you know, you think about that 3-5. I think the 3-5 ratio is a good way to frame that up. If you don't see them, let me just put this into you. If you do not see our public works professionals, that does not mean that work is not going on and things are not getting done. They're tackling the here and now, and you're next on the list. Always remember that.
Yes.
You're not forgotten about. You're always going to be taken care of.
Yes.
And reach out. Be informed. Use the application. And if I can ask Benjamin as well, to understand where that app is found and for us to be able to use that. If you got a concern, you have something you want to get tackled, remind us where we can get that.
You can get it at BransonMo.gov.
BransonMo.gov.
Yeah, it'll be right there on the front webpage. And it's a very interactive, self-explanatory system. You just go through. You can put your information in if you'd like to. If you'd like to be anonymous, we'll accept that too. And you can put us some information. We'll contact you and let you know where we're going with the project.
Benjamin also reminds me, Pam, as well, about our nomination process. And we want those stories because I think about Ben and on his team, there's 40 of them. There's 40 of them, and there's a lot more down there at the city. And great folks out there that put in those hours. They work very, very hard every day. They're not worried about whether or not they're a hero or not. But you know what? You got a story to tell, and we'd love to know about that. You're the one that's in the trenches every day. You got your head down, and you're just doing your job. I think there's a lot more to that. So I would encourage you, if you know somebody that is in that position right now in the emergency sector, public works, city, all the way around, we want to know about you. So go to BransonPodcastNetwork.com. Go to the Heart of the Emergency Worker podcast page. The nomination form is easy. It takes
very easy.
No time at all. The episodes are there, but the nomination form is the first thing you see. Start there.
Yeah.
Click it. Put a bio in so we can uncover another hero and another story. Yeah.
I would encourage people to think about who makes an impact in their lives and really consider nominating them. I have one more question for you.
Yeah.
I know every organization is constantly looking for good people, and the city is no exception to that. What would you say to encourage people out in our community that might be ready to make a change in career or maybe needing a job? What would you tell them about coming to work for the city of Branson?
Well, I think the city's really stepped up in the last couple months
yes.
with the whole reorganization and, and the wage study and stuff like that that we've done recently. One thing I'd encourage people to really think about is sometimes they get caught up on the money aspect of it, but the city's really true benefit is the benefits, you know, and what we get as an employee with the city. And it's that long-term longevity that you really have to look at that most people don't. You know, on the private sector, when I was there, I had a 401k, and that's great. It's based off the stock market. So if the stock market goes up, it goes up. If it goes down, it goes down. With the city of Branson, it's great. We've got a pension fund, and it's funded through the state. It's going to be there forever, you know, so it's one of the huge benefits that a lot of people lose track of. And maybe the younger generation isn't thinking about it yet,
but they need to be.
As they get to their early 30s, it's going to change, and they're going to start thinking of those things. So I encourage everybody to come to BransonMo.gov. There's quite a few positions open currently, and give us an application. We'd love to interview you.
And it's a great place to work. I can tell from the way you talk about it. You just get this look on your face. I can tell you really love your job. I can tell you love working with the people that you get to work with. So it's a great place, and we might as well put a plug in, and maybe somebody will hear this that's needing a job, and they'll go out and apply, and you'll have another great
And there's something
associate.
For everyone. That's a great thing about it. So,
and you've also got a great example in Benjamin as well. You want to start your journey early, whether it's an apprenticeship or in a department down there. Take an example from today's episode in Benjamin's ethic as well. Stay driven, stay motivated, and go right to the top. The city affords you that opportunity. Benjamin Stabo, I just want to say thank you, and please spread the word. If you know of people that are on your team down there that have got a great story, we're sitting here with a mic, and we would love to share that. I appreciate you taking the time.
Well, thank you, too. I appreciate it.
Pamela Yancey, Arvest Bank, is proudly presenting the Heart of the Emergency Worker podcast series right here on Branson Podcast Network. Young lady, it is always a pleasure to be behind this mic. It's a pleasure to be walking this road with you, uncovering powerful and great stories, finding those heroes. Today was fun.
It sure was, and I wouldn't want to do this with anybody else but you, Josh, so thank you.
She knows how to flatter me, guys.
It's
you
so
stay with us, and go in the backlog. Listen to all these episodes. If you're starting here, that's great. Rewind it. Go all the way back to the beginning. A lot of great podcasts, a lot of great stories, a lot of fun, and it's all right here at Branson Podcast Network.